We are happy you tuned in to us for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. Box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. We're coming to you by the way of computer. And we just praise God today to know that He's still on the throne and He is control of all things. And He will see His people through into righteousness and bring forth His kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness. My friend, today is a day that we're living in that Bible speaks about of the last days, and we're surely, truly that we're in the last days. All the things that was prophesied by the prophets of old and the Lord Himself 2,000 years ago or better is being fulfilled in our eyes today and in our time. So we need to be prayerful, be seeking the Lord with our whole heart, and look into that return of Jesus when He takes His bride home to be with Him. Now understand that He's coming in the clouds, and that's going to be the appearance of Him in the clouds to take these people to be with Him. But when He comes in a second time and put His foot on Mount Olive, is going to be the second coming of the Lord. He's going to come and His saints do follow Him. He has to come in the clouds to take His bride home before they can come back with Him as the faithful there in Revelations when He comes to do the battle of Armageddon, put down all unrighteousness. So as we think about it today, my friend, and if you look into the scriptures and really believe that the Bible is truth, and you will understand and read what it's doing, what it says, rather, and look and to see what's going on in the world today. And if you can't see the prophecy that has been prophesied 2,000 years or better ago and been spoken of by the prophets of old and the Lord Himself, and you can't see that, you are blind. I mean, I don't care what denomination you belong to or where you think you are or where do you think you're going. If you can't see the hand of God moving in the world today and in the prophecy being fulfilled, then there's something there wrong with you. You're blind and can't see no further than the end of your nose. So look into the Word. Don't take my word or somebody else's word for it. Read what the Bible has to say, and you can't go wrong if you will believe it. Be obedient to it and do what the Lord tells you to do. Then you won't go wrong. We're going to go to prayer at this time, and we would like for you to pray with us as we pray one for another. We need to pray for our boys and girls that come home from these wars and all lamed and crippled and all these kind of problems, as well as for the nation. Need to pray for them that are in charge of things, because seem to me like they're doing some crazy things that is unheard of. But nevertheless, we need to pray, as the scripture said, pray even for our enemies. So let us go to prayer at this time. Lord God Almighty, we thank You for the opportunity that we have, that we can come to You and humble ourselves before Thee and give praise and honor unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, we pray that You would touch the minds and the hearts of the people, that would open their understanding, that would read Your word and understand, give them that ability to see the things that are happening. It was spoken of long ago by You and by the apostles and the prophets of old that are now fully coming to pass in our day. And that it is written that You have told us that the generation that seeth these things come to pass will not pass away until all things be fulfilled. Lord, we see all these things being fulfilled. Have us to have a heart to believe and the eyes to see what the scripture has to say, and our minds stayed upon Thee, and help us, O God. This nation, Lord, it is seemingly to gone so far to the left I hope that it would come back and praise you and give you honor and glory before it's too late. We look at our loved ones, our friends, and our men and women that have been injured in these wars, seemingly to be so senseless because rich men make a profit off of all these goods they're selling for these things. So, Lord, we just pray that you would bring forth the minds of the hearts of your children, that they may worship you in spirit and in truth and give praise and honor to the Lord God of glory and honor you with their hearts, not just with their lips, but for their hearts, O God, given totally unto thee, putting you first in your life. And we'll be careful to praise you for these and all things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Lord, we're just glad to know that God is still in control. And you turn with Isaiah, the 5th chapter, and we're going to have something other about that. And before we get started here, I got something other here. My wife's got something here she wants to read to you and bring to you there is what God's laid on our hearts. And so here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Well, I just praise the Lord again for this opportunity to share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart to share with this ungodly world that we live in. We look around us, you know, and we think everything's okay. But if you'll read, like Brother Compton said, in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, and also Isaiah, the 26th chapter, you'll see where we are right now. We are a nation that is forgetting all about God, and we're doing our own thing. In Isaiah's song picturing Israel's vineyard teaches us that God has a right to expect love, worship, and obedience from those whom he blesses. Unfortunately, like people in Isaiah's days, many of us show little gratitude, and we deliberately break his moral laws. Sound like what's happening today? When we behave this way, God has the right to act in judgment upon us. History reveals that whenever a nation ignores God and rejects his word, it reaps a very bitter harvest. We in the United States are reminded at times of the liberties we enjoy. For these, we should be deeply grateful, but sometimes we take them for granted, displaying little concern for those who are not so abundantly blessed. We are becoming a nation of individuals who selfishly insist on our own rights, making unfair demands on others and not thinking of their welfare. Worst of all, in this clamor of personal freedom, we hear very little about the rights of God, Jesus, our provider. We should recognize that he is the Lord of the vineyard. He expects us to produce fruits of love and obedience instead of the wild grapes of ingratitude and wickedness. So long as faith is kept alive, nation and people will survive. True freedom is not in having your own way, but in yielding to God's way. And more than 2,500 years ago, some Israelites were using a similar excuse for their sin. They quoted a well-known proverb that placed the blame for their sins on their ancestors in Ezekiel 18:2. Let me tell you, you alone are responsible. Your parents, your ancestors, if they were bank robbers, drunkards, or whatever, it does not say that you're going to be the same way. You alone are responsible for your actions. But God told them they were wrong in Ezekiel 18:2. He said that a good man will not be punished for the sins of an ungodly son, nor will a godly son be punished for the sins of his ungodly parents. Make no mistake, no matter what your situation, you are responsible for what you do. Stop making excuses for your sins. Instead, repent of your sins to Jesus Christ and ask him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And as I've always say every week, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. And Jesus said in Luke 13:3, if you have a red letter Bible, then you'll know that he said it. But he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And I do a little pamphlet every week for Take Time for Jesus. And if you'd like to have it to share with others, you email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com. And I'll send it to you. You give me your address and it won't cost you a thing. And you can reach us 24/7 at www.phoenixbroadcasting.com. And I just pray that something will be said today that'll get you thinking about where you're going to spend eternity. The way things are happening today, I don't believe that God is satisfied with it. All these judges that are going along with all this homosexual and ungodly lifestyle and everything, they're going to answer the same as the ones that's doing it. And I'm here to tell you, you people that are living together and not being married, God is against it. If you don't believe it, you write to me and I will give you the scriptures for it. Better yet, just go into it. Read your Bible, 1 Timothy, all through the Bible. It says God is unpleased with it and you will be judged for it. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Yes. The Lord speaks about adultery and fornication. Fornication means things without being married. Adultery means that a married person messing with other married people. So, my friend, today we have a world today that is just gone by the wayside in morals for the simple fact that our judges and our people today, and even to a lot of preachers, are not preaching the gospel as it should be. There are a lot of them is after all they can get, and there's prosperity business and everything, and the people saying all the things about that, and these things that goes on, and people promoting the pastor, and they have these big cathedrals and a large crowd. But you know, the scripture teaches me that the Lord said, where there was two or three together in his name, there he would be in the midst also. Didn't say 200 or 300 or 2 or 3,000. He said 2 or 3. So we got to realize that God is in the midst of them that love him and truly will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not in the things that is all that glit and glamour and all this loud music and the drum beating and the hooping and the yelling and the carrying on and everything. It's not necessarily God is in all this, my friend. He is a man of dignity. He's got morals, and he's going to inquire of us to be moral. And this, the generation that we're living in now has gotten to be everything but that. If we just take time to read the Bible, look and see what's happening in the world today, in the news and all around, and all it tells about that. But even to the news medias don't tell you about the things that is right or wrong. They uphold a lot of things, and they report some good things, but yet and still they are limited because of the things of the world, and they're afraid to say something other in behalf of God, because we've got to the place that we're in that even to our government has forbidden the preachers that are in the service there to speak about in the name of Jesus. They'll say something about God, but it's all right to say Muhammad and all them people and everything. Don't speak in Jesus' name, because it brings an approach against them, if you want to know the truth about it, as it was when they had Peter and John there, because they prayed for a man that was laying at the gate called Beautiful, was lame from his mother's womb, and they just prayed the prayer, and in the name of Jesus, they said, rise up and walk. They didn't have silver and gold to give him, but the man wasn't looking for what he received. He was looking for silver or gold, something to sustain him because he was unable to work. But now they just gave him what he needed. and his need was to strengthen his legs to where he could go out and earn his living. And a lot of people today are going around, they depend on other people. It's not that they can't work, that they just too lazy and won't work. But Paul makes mention about the man that won't work shouldn't eat, but yet and still they're lining up on the streets and they all tack it out and everything. And I don't doubt that some of them there is legitimately there, but some of them there probably is not. But nevertheless, we look at the world today and see what's happening simply because they put God out of their lives, simply because they don't give God no praise or worship. They put him on the sideline or on the back burner, you might say, and using him like a spare tire in the trunk. And by the way, the new cars are coming out without a spare tire, so you can't use him there. Well, you're going to be out of luck on that. So, but people using God as a spare tire, that just in case we need him, you got him along in the trunk. Well, that's all right if you have a flat tire and you got a spare and put it on, you can get on to wherever you're going. But God is getting sick and tired of people, and they get into trouble and they seriously need some help. And the only help they can think of and the only help that they know it we give them what they need is the Almighty God. Then they call on him. Israel done the same thing. This nation's doing the same thing. God brought us out of bondage under a king's rule and everything, brought us over here, and we established our place in this world here, as we call it, the United States, and everything. But we made our constitution, and everything was men based upon the principles of God. Well, these governments that we come along now and elected and put in office, they've everything but that. They've changed the Constitution or updated it so many times until it don't even look the same. So we're trying to get it into the place that we're in that we can do anything we please. But God's not going to allow it, my friend. He's going to bring judgment upon all nations that have forgotten God. We're looking at the time now that we're in that Jesus is going to come soon. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't make no difference with him. He said, to him that will believe, he can be saved. But to him that believeth not shall be damned. So he's give you the right. He's made you got the right to choose. So if you choose to serve him and believe and trust in him, you can have eternal life. That's the promise he's given us. But if you choose to ignore him and be hard-headed, live your own life and your own principles, live in sin and whatever corruption you want to do, thinking that you're going to get by, as some people says, I'm going to go to heaven whether I want to or not. Now, that's a lie out of hell, and the devil offered it. Like some of these people, men with men and women with women, said, this is the way God made me. Now, that's a lie, too, out of the bottom of hell, because God made male and female. Adam didn't find nothing that would suit his purpose until he created the woman there. God made a woman out of the man's rib. And all the animals and everything had mates. And so God made him a mate. So now, my friend, if God had made them like that, then they would have been, why was the need of making them male and female and being specially making them and calling them male and female? Well, it's time that we've got to realize that God is in control, and man has come and stooped so low until he thinks that he can do as he please. He's his own moral God, and the moral God, the God in his morals, is going to judge the people of the world today. Not just the United States. The United States has meddled with other people's business and everything and got us into trouble. We had to support other people and everything, and they care less about us. All they want is what we can give them and everything. But as far as that goes, if some of you go over into their other countries and everything, and they'll find some reason to put you in jail. If it ain't no reason, they'll still put you there, even kill you or whatever. My friends, it's time we got a hold of the horns of the altar and begin to pray and seek God for the right for his righteousness, that we might find favor in his sight and become a child of God. It's time this nation began to repent for its evil doings, and the judges and the lawyers and the things like that there needs to repent and get God in their life. We got them there wanting to spending millions of dollars to promote drugs and things that will destroy the people, which we've been fighting against for a long time. Like God has been against sin and things that would cause people to sin from the very get-go, from the time of he created everything. But man has come along and messed it up simply because they wouldn't believe in God. Disobedience is what got us into the trouble. When Adam disobeyed God's one commandment not to eat of the fruit of the midst of the garden, tree of the midst of the garden there, of good and evil, he was taken of it, and it put us in a difference with God. It brought us out of the grace of God and put us in sin, and we've been living there. Now, the only thing that could bring us back into the grace of God was the man called Jesus. God manifested in the flesh, came and died on Calvary's cross, the giving of his life, the shedding of his blood, as it was spoken about when he gave the apostles that supper that we call the Lord's Supper. He broke the bread and told them to eat it because it was his body which would be broken for many. He gave them the cup from the juice of the vine and said, drink it because it's the blood of the New Testament. My friend, we have belittled, we have done everything that God didn't intend for us to do, but we've took on these things and abused them and everything simply because that God's grace is sufficient for your sins, for everything else, but it's not going to cover your sins. It'll forgive you for your sins, but Paul goes and says, shall we continue in our sins that grace may abound? The grace is not going to abound over your sins. The grace will save by grace, my friend, by believing and trusting, having faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that was shed there at Calvary. But if we don't trust in him and we continue on in our sins, that grace may abound, you're going to be badly mistaken, my friend. You're going to go down the tube, so to say, and hell will be your destination. Because the grace of God is not going to bind over your sins. It's going to take the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from your sins. And the grace of God is sufficient to do that. But, my friend, if you continue in your sins, you're not going to make it. It's plain and simple. The Bible plainly tells you it won't, you won't. And people are going and everything in this old harlot church and everything is going around and people are praising it. Thousands and millions of them are getting around there to see this old man that comes riding along in his little golf cart with all this here kind of stuff and claims to be so great, and the people are flocking to him. Bible says that a man that be exalted and exalts himself and everything shall be obeyed. One of these days, that old harlot church and doctrine is going to come down, and it's going to fall, and it's going to fall hard. Anything that's not approved of by the Lord God Almighty is going to be destroyed, plain and simple. As my wife was saying about, he took the choice vines, he cleaned out the place, the vineyard, took all the rocks out of it, and he walled it up, and therefore, and he planted some choice vines in it. He even put a wine press in it. But when he sought for the grapes, the fruits there, and it would bring forth good, but it brought forth wild grapes. My friend, that's what the world is doing today. It's bringing forth. He brought this nation in here and put it in a place to where it had helped it to come to be what it is. But we're the United States is not what we used to be simply because that we get so eager to put a man in there that we uphold instead of praying and asking God for his decision for us to make the right choices, to put in the right person, which would govern the things. But we look at the things of the Bible and it speaks about in the last days, these things are going to come and we're there. Jesus said over 2,000 years ago that these things would happen. He says, as it was in the days, and I've said this before, but my friend, we can't emphasize it too much. As it was in the days of Noah, and in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we're there. if you'd read your Bible and looking to see what's happening. Just the other day, there were several earthquakes around in different parts, around California and even in the center of the state and up in the east coast of North Carolina and other places, and one thing or another. We're looking at these things at which the Bible speaks about. And so if you would read your Bible, as I encourage you to do, and to see where God has spoke in the written letter and bring it forth and it's happening, then you would know that the Bible is not just a book to make you do good. It's a book chosen by God to bring you to the place to wherein you will do good if you will trust in the author of the book. The author of it is God Almighty. He inspired the people, the prophets and the apostles of the old, to write to you and I a book that we're in that would guide us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake and for the salvation of yours and my soul. Now it's up to us. I mean, you can choose whatever you want to do, but let me encourage you, my friend, if it's possible, that to turn from the wickedness of the rudiments of this world and everything and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him for salvation, to forgive you of your sins. Not just merely raise your hands and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and you're on your way to glory. It doesn't work like that. He said, repent and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, when they said this, they thought the people was crazy and drunk, but they weren't. When Peter stood up and preached to them there, and they began, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do that we might be saved? He said, repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I know a lot of people have done some abusive into this here, speaking in tongues, so they say. And it's authentic. It's God's will. But let me tell you, there's some of them goes around and they've come up with a school that teach you how. No, my friend, that's a wrong attitude to get for it. That's not God's will. That God will move by his Spirit. The inward dwelling of the Spirit of God will bring you to this truth if you will believe what the Bible says. But we're living now in the days that we're in, that people are calling good evil and evil good. These people are saying that it's good for them to have same-sex marriages and everything, and our judges are bringing forth a Supreme Court, the people that we put in office to make laws that would govern us there in the right way and everything, they're bringing it forth, and God put it in his own words that it was an abomination in his sight, and he's not going to tolerate it, and neither will he tolerate them that do it, neither them that have favor with those people. And my friend, it's plain as a nose on your face. If we would look into the word of God and believe what it says, God's going to bring judgment upon it. He did in Sodom and Gomorrah's time, and I've often heard some of the older preachers way before my time, or right along when I was a young man, saying if God don't do something about all of this stuff, then it just, right then, they were still in the closet. Every once in a while, you'd see and hear of it. But they was in the closet, and the old preacher to say, if God don't do something about it, he's going to have to call Sodom and Gomorrah up and apologize to them. But he ain't going to do that, my friend. But he's going to bring upon the world that is included with that stuff and indulging in it and everything. He's going to bring the same thing, if not worse, upon them that have favor with it and them that do it, as he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. And therefore, it's going to come a judgment upon this world because of sin. Not because God just wants to be ill and punish people, but it's their own thing that's brought the things of destruction upon them. As my wife was saying, you and I are responsible for our actions. You and I are going to suffer the consequences for our doings as well as anyone else. It used to be at one time that God had held the man responsible for his children and his children responsible. But he no longer does that, my friend. Each individual is going to be given account for his own sins, for his own doings. It's not going to be nobody else is going to be blamed for his thing. These people that are going around and killing their policemen and killing our children and all these things, it's them that does it, not somebody else, but them. They are the ones that's going to suffer the consequences. And we have these people writing about this. And they, I know that people do things wrong in this world. There's no ifs and ands about that. But what good is it do to try to do one evil to turn another evil? It doesn't make any sense. And when people go and to kill one race of people and they do it right or wrong, it doesn't give the other person right to go and destroy other people's property because they got angry because one man done something. That man's going to have to give an account, just like them that destroys and kills and bring forth destruction upon people that has nothing to do with it. They're going to have to give an account to the Almighty God. We're all going to give that account. And the only way you can avoid being cast into hell is you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to make it right, my friend. If you've done your brother wrong, you've stole or you've messed around and done things that are against God's principles, you're going to have to make it right. You're going to have to ask God to forgive you. You're going to have to go to them and make it right with them, if it at all possible. My friend, it's come time that we got to, as Brother McGee used to say, where the rubber hits the road, it's time we begin to get down to the place and the basic things about where God said that it was sin, and where God said he would punish them for the sins, and where God said, I will uphold them with my right arm of salvation if they'll repent. You got to repent. In order to be held up with his right arm and him be pleased with you, you got to repent. You got to turn about and not do the sins of the world, not be associated with those things, not going around stealing and killing and one thing or another and all drunkenness and drowsiness and carrying on such a foolishness as this, one race of people against another. God created all people. Oh, my friend, he didn't just create them for this one to be shunned or this one to be mistreated. I don't care who you are, where you come from, what color your skin is. God made man in his own image. We should respect one another, but that don't give one right to be literally against another. My friend, it's come to the time to worry in that we're going to have to pray one for another. If you intend to escape the things that's going to come upon this world, we're going to have to pray even for our enemies. We're going to have to love even to the man in the White House. Yeah, well, he's one of them probably that's a little bit unlovable, but nevertheless, even to the old man over there in China and around about, we got to show some respect for him and everything if we intend for God's blessings to be upon us. I know it's hard. Believe me, I realize that. But the thing of it is, to be pleasing to God, we're going to have to act as God would have us to do. We're going to have to pray for them that would despitefully use us and them that will say all manners of things against us. We're going to have to pray and that God would touch their hearts and their lives, that wherein would bring them into the place to wherein that they would repent. Now, friends, it's come to the time to wherein that the rubber hits the road. Are the nitty gritty or whatever you want to call it. It's going to come a time that we're going to stand before the Almighty God and we're going to have to give an answer. We're going to have to pay for our unrighteousness and be cast into hell. But if we repent of our sins and we've got the promise of eternal life, but when the Lord stands them up there and he says he puts the goats on his left hand and the sheep on the right, and he'll say unto them on his right hand, enter into the rest in the place that God had prepared for, but them that are on the left hand is cast them into outer darkness. My friend, it's got to be a repentance there. It's got to come in order to get on the right hand of God. You've got to be right in his sight. We're human, but God realizes that. He became man to where he could come and die and redeem us from the fall there in the garden, to where he could redeem us from unrighteousness and bring us back into the righteousness of God. See, Adam was perfect in his every way. He was had the mind of God. He named everything and everything. But until he disobeyed, it brought a division between God and man. And that division was filled there on Jesus when God himself stepped up out into the world, and the world taking him and denied him at that time, even to his own people, says the Pilate asked him, said, "What will we do with your king, Jesus? We have no king except Caesar. Away with this man, crucify him." And they crucified him. My friend, the Roman soldiers took him and nailed him on the cross. But they didn't kill him. He gave his life. Understand that he was God in the flesh. He laid it down for you and I, that we might become children of God, be born again of the water and of the Spirit, accepting him as our Savior, to wherein he would bring us from unrighteousness into the righteousness of God through his death, through his blood. For without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. When God covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve there in the garden, he slew two animals, one male and one female. He put the male skin on Eve and the female skin on Eve and the male skin on Adam. My friend, he intended for man and woman to be there together as helpmates. He never intended for man to be with man or a woman to be with a woman, laying with them or even being mixed up with animals. My friend, it's come the time that we're in, the rubber has hit the road and we're sinning, and a lot of people is condoning this kind of lifestyle, and besides them that are doing it, and it's going to bring forth destruction upon them. All that is doing in favor of these things is going to reap the whirlwind, and God's going to have the last word, and he's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." I don't care. You might say, "Well, I sit on the judgment seat of these people." Yeah, he's going to sit in the judgment seat of you too, and he's going to bring forth judgment on the unrighteousness, and he's going to judge the righteousness. The righteous will be enter in, and the unrighteous is going to say, "Depart." So it's up to you. You got a right to make a decision. God gave you that right. Now you can decide to go along with the world and say, "Yeah, this has got to be this way. It's unconstitutional. It's this. The Constitution, there's nothing in the Constitution that I know of that says anything about man marrying a man or a woman marrying another woman. It doesn't say anything about it, that my notion, but give them rights to do things. What about God's right? What about the right to salvation? What about when God said it's an abomination and is, and you go against that? You think you can buck God? Are you above God that you can make your things? My friend, it's come to the time to where the rubber go hit the road. Hell is enlarged itself to receive them that want to go there. And by these people that's doing all this sin and condoning it and sanctioning it and everything, hell's going to be prepared for it. Only the righteous are going to enter into the kingdom of God. Them that have repented, them that have got the blood of Jesus applied to the sins. You know, when he was on the cross there, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Remember that Jesus took yours and my sins and iniquities upon him, nailing them to the cross. And there on that cross of Calvary, there when he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God's not going to look upon the sins. He turned his eyes from the sin there that Jesus, that he took upon him for you and I. He turned his face away from it for a period of time, about 3 hours there, and there was darkness over the land. Oh, my friend, but when he looked back again, all he seen was not our sins, but he seen the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the blood of Jesus that covered our sins and done away with them. Then he smiled upon it, and Jesus came, He was put in the tomb, and he brought forth on the third day and resurrected, and he's alive forevermore. That blood that was shed for yours and my sins is not entered in there. It's going to be, it was carried by God himself through the veil of his own blood and offered up as a sacrifice for you and I and our sins there. He put it on the mercy seat of God, and he done it for you and I. But if you want to ignore it, you're the one that's going to have to give an answer. Oh, when that blood is not applied and God don't see that blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world upon your sins, and your sins are still red like crimson, black-hearted and stubborn and hard-headed and disobedience and adulterous and all these things and are still up hanging upon you, and he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. My friend, it's come time that we need to get down to business with God. We need to come to realize that the word of God is going to be fulfilled. As it was in Isaiah 54, he said that they've come to the place of where in there, verse 20, he said, there he said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness and light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty and drunk with wine, and men of strength and mingled strong drinks, which justify the wicked for rewards and take away the righteousness of the righteous from them. Therefore, as the fire devoured the stubble and the flames consumed the sheaf, so their roots shall be rotten and their bosom shall go up into the dust. Bloom shall go up into the dust because they have cast away the laws of the Lord of hosts and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against the people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were thrown out of the midst in the street. For all this, this anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. My friend, it's there. It's right there. You can believe it or not believe it, but the word of God is going to be fulfilled, and it's being fulfilled. If you'll read it about in what's happening with the things that's happening in this world, you'll know that God said that these things would happen over 2,000 years ago, and they're here on yours in my day, and we're seeing it, and it's coming to pass. And all these things, he said, the multitudes of multitudes are in the valley of decision. It's time to make a decision, my friend. Jesus will come soon. And if you ain't decided to follow him and go into him, you're going to be left out. All these things that we see coming around across the world today with this knowledge and technicians and things, technology that's coming to pass. Daniel spoke about it when he was asked in there, and God told him to shut up the book and not write what the seven thunders uttered and everything, even in Revelations. And when Daniel told him, he said, close up the book, Daniel, it's sealed. He said, because in the last days they would run to and fro, and knowledge would increase, and they would, and these things are happening, my friend. Believe what the word of God says, not what that man, it wanted. Put your money in my bank account and watch my bank grow. Don't be fooled about sending him money and God's going to open up the windows and pour you out all kinds of booty and all kinds of things that you so desire in your heart, all the rich and the wealth of the world. God said he would meet your needs, but he didn't say anything about pouring you out silver and gold out of the domains of heaven. He said he would open up the windows, true enough. It's there, and bless you. But think about it. That blessing could be a good health. Your eyesight. You're able to get up in the morning. You're able to go to work. The job that he's gave to you, supplied for you, to make your living. And you're able to think for yourself. You're able to do things for yourself. Where so many people are not able to do. Some of them, simply because that they was there fighting for your rights to live, and they come home all mangled up because they stood between you. They stood in the gap between you and the things that was coming to try to harm you and take away your rights. Oh, my friend, read your Bible. Look to the Lord, for He's our only hope. In these days we're living in, it's crucial times. Look about and hear the news that how just a few days ago that how four men went in and robbing these people and went into another house and killed a woman and her a daughter there. And they caught them, true enough. And justice, I suppose, will be served. But think about it. It's not yours or my will to do to them people, but the laws of the land will take care of the situation. But God's going to judge even to the laws of the land. He's going to judge people for their unrighteousness. Even though he may carry a badge, he may sit on the high seat of the highest court in the world, but if he's not right in the sight of God, he's going to be judged just like the lowest man of sin. He's not going to have respect to person. Sin is sin in the sight of God, no matter who you are, where you come from, or what kind of lifestyle you lived. If you're not living for God, he's going to judge the unrighteousness, and he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. As he said that when they would go to say good, evil is good and good is evil, and a lot of these people are doing that, these judges and lawyers are doing that. My friend, it's time, even to other people. These men said, hey, it's our right to go out and rob these places. It's our right to shoot the police. It's our right to discriminate. It's our right to do this. They're not considering the other people's rights. They just said, away with their rights, but I want my rights. Well, a lot of people's rights have been violated. I understand that. But my friend, today, does that give you the right to violate their rights? Not in the sight of God, it doesn't. Not in the sight of God, it doesn't give you the right to kill, mangle, or destroy, steal, murder, commit adultery, and everything just because you think it's your rights? No, it does. It don't work like that. Oh, when you go to calling upon God and you find Him, and he's not lost. We're the ones that was lost. We need to search the scriptures. We need to find in there where he come in the volume of the book. Mm-hmm. Some of these denominations going along and saying, any old way will do. Well, it ain't going to work that way, my friend. It's going to have to be God's way. He's got a plan already set in order. And if we don't follow the plan, we ain't going to get into the kingdom. If we follow our own initiative and do our own thing, sooner or later we're going to come to the place to where you're going to hear him say, depart from me. Even those that are dead and done turned into dust back into the days of old, they're going to be brought forth. They're going to be judged just like any other man that's standing up on his feet today, or breath is in his body. Everything is going to come before God and be judged. Even them that are asleep in the dust, the righteous will rise from corruption to incorruption. The mortal will be changed from mortal to immortality, and the Lord will take them away. But now, at the time of the second resurrection, where death, hell, and the grave will give up the dead, and he's going to be judged, and the second death will take place because they're going to be judged in unrighteousness. But the sins is going to be upon them, and they be cast again into hell, which is the second death. See, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So all men's going to be judged. All men's going to stand before the throne of grace, and God is going to be the judge. Whether you wore a yellow robe or black robe or whatever robe there, God's going to have on the robe of righteousness. He's the righteous judge, and to them that are found faithful and true and righteous will have on the robe of righteousness, which will be cleaner than any fuller soap can get it. going to be brightness, as Jesus did on the Mount Transfiguration with Elijah, and Moses appeared there with him, and the apostle said his garments glowed exceedingly great and whiter than any fuller soap could get it. Oh, my friends, fuller soap, I don't know has ever used any, but must be some strong detergent there to get all things. But the blood of Jesus will take your sins away, no matter how red, how dark, or how black they are. If you call upon him and seek him and ask him faithfully, believing and trusting in him, he'll make that old sinful garment be whiter than bring it forth whiter than snow. But I want you to think about it, my friend. It's going to take the blood of Jesus. It's going to take the truth. It's going to prevail over the untruth. Now, you can go, and these false teachers and preachers are going and preaching this and preaching that, and one thing or another. He said that in the last days they would come, false teachers and false prophets. We got a bunch of them running around. Oh, but there's many of them. But there's a few that stands for the righteousness of God. I'm not the only one, and I'm not boasting upon myself. I just believe that God said he would bring forth judgment upon the world. I believe what the Bible says. There's a lot of preachers out there that are preaching the truth. There's a lot of them out there that's running people down and sending them astray. Oh, my friends, the time it's come to the place that we're in that we need to understand. God created this heavens and the earth for his own glory. He brought forth and he looked at it and he said, well, there's no man there to attend. So he created Adam in his own image and in his likeness out of the dust of the earth. Then when Adam had went for so far and he didn't find himself a helpmate, what all that he had been created, he didn't find anything that was compatible to him. So God said, this is not well that a man should dwell alone. So he put him in a deep sleep. First operation that was ever performed. And God took a rib from under his arm. And he made the woman out of it. And he brought the woman to Eve, to Adam. And Adam looked at her and seen, no doubt he looked upon her, and she was probably a beautiful thing, creature. And Adam looked at her and says, called her woman, said, you bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And he called her woman. Oh, they was named after that. She called her Eve. She was the mother of all. Like Adam, he named everything. He had the mind of God. But when he disobeyed him, that part of it, and even the science and doctors speak about, they man only uses about 10% of his brain. Think about it. If we'd use that God intended for us to use, oh, look what, if we use it for the glory of God and upholding him and his righteousness, and the mind had the mind that God intended for it to be, what could we accomplish? Wouldn't be no sickness. Wouldn't be no death of cancer and these things in the world, because sin would not have a place. These things are brought on by sin, my friend. Disobedience. He said they would, and they were here. Through these things is coming upon the world today is all the sickness and all the cancers and so on and so forth is brought on by sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And death, hell, and the grave is going to be called up on the last judgment and cast again to hell, which is a second death. So we need to look into the Word of God and pray prayerfully, one for another. And may God bless you. I see your time is close by, and the time is running out. Need to call upon the Lord today, because, as my wife said, tomorrow may be too late. It may not come for you or for I. Today is the day of salvation. May God bless you until next time. And we keep God in your heart. And we take time for Jesus every day of your life. And give him praise and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Really, how precious. chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And life